Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this morning we are in our series on the greatest commandment, and this session is entitled First Overflowing into Second. So we're talking about the first greatest commandment in this series. That's what the first and greatest commandment. That's what the series is all about. What we're going to talk about this morning is the first greatest commandment flowing into the second greatest commandment and how that works, what that connection looks like, how that is supposed to work in our lives. And so as we do, I want to jump back into the Matthew 22 passage, 22, 36 through 40. You know, we read this verse or this passage probably not every week, but most weeks. And it's because I want to continually get us thinking about the words that Jesus said about what is the greatest commandment, what is the most important thing. And as we'll see here, he actually mentions two. He doesn't just give us the greatest commandment. He tells us two of them. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It's pretty intense. So this morning, we're going to look at the second greatest thing. We've been talking about the first greatest thing as far as what's on God's heart. The first greatest, most important, the top priority on God's heart is that you and I would learn to love God with all that we've got. That's the first. But he actually says there's a second greatest thing on God's mind. That's pretty cool. I really wish he'd tell us what was third and fourth and ninth and 37th. I would love to know like the list in order. We don't have it that way. What we do have is one and two. We know for sure what is most important to God and what is second most important to God. This is cool. This is really helpful information. For those of us who are trying to follow Jesus, trying to, you know, be, you know, believers in this modern day, all the craziness that's going on around us, what do we do? How do we live? It's really great to hear from God's perspective what the first thing that he cares about the most and the second thing. I just love that there's a list. I'm a list guy, though. I'm a bit of a nerd. So what is it? Love our neighbors. The second greatest commandment is that we would love our neighbors. In other words, he's telling us that we need to learn how to prioritize loving people. In essence, that's really the gist of it. Because when Jesus was asked, who's my neighbor? Jesus gives a clear parable, clear enough. It's more or less, if they got a pulse, they're your neighbor. If they're alive, if they're breathing, they're your neighbor. Treat them right, love them well. So here Jesus is saying the greatest commandment is love God, and the second greatest commandment is love people. Learn how to love people. But just, I say learn. The reason I'm throwing that word learn in there is because we've been talking for how many weeks about learning to love God? And how many more weeks do we have left to learn to love God? You don't just wake up knowing how to do that. It's not innate to us. We got to follow what the Word of God says in order to figure out how to learn how to love God. It's the same way to learn how to love people. Because there are some ways that we would want to love people that they don't feel very loved by. There's some ways that people need to be loved that we would never even think of. And if we did think of it, we would push the delete key so that we didn't have to do that thing. Learning how to love people takes effort. It ain't easy because I'll be darned, they're pesky because they're not you and they're not me. They're them, and them is different than me. I know me. I like me. Sometimes them gets on my nerves. And the Lord's like, yeah, I want you to love them. That's what I want you to do. I want you to learn how to love people. It's second of importance to me of all the things. God who created everything, God who created the universe, God who created you, he created the ways of life, the ways that our hearts respond. God who created everything, he said, let me tell you what is the second most important thing to me as God. I want you to learn how to love people. Kind of tough. Then he says this. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So Oh, no. It's not like I just love them a little bit. I got to love them like I'd love me. I got to try to protect them like I'd protect me. I got to try to care for them like I'd care for me. If you got a scratched knee and you need a Band-Aid, you need to be thinking about, they got a scratched knee. They need a Band-Aid. If you're like, I really like lattes, maybe they really like lattes. I mean, love them like you love yourself. This is intrusive. This is like really intense language. He says, it's not just enough that we learn how to love people. You got to learn how to love them like you would care for and love yourself. We take care of ourselves all day long without even thinking about it. You see a little dip, you know, in the sidewalk, you move around it. You know, you got something coming. There's a bunch of dust coming or whatever. You put your thing over your mouth so that you don't breathe in the dust. All day long, without even thinking about it, we're protecting ourselves. We're loving ourselves. We're showing care and protection and every form of love. When we're hungry, we feed ourselves. When we're tired, we sleep. I mean, it's like we love ourselves as a kind of an all-consuming thought process. And Jesus is like, oh yeah, you know how consumed you are with yourself? Be that way about people. Oh, this is a heavy word, Lord. These are tough talks. Love them like you love yourself. And then he says this. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. It's like it. So we've been talking about the first and greatest commandment for weeks and weeks and weeks. Jesus says, I've got something else for you. I've got another commandment, but don't worry. It's not so different. It's actually like the first one. The first one that I've been telling you is so important. It's the number one thing. He says there's a second commandment and it's like the first, so that there's going to be all these connections and similarities. That's really good news for us. He says it's like it, that we should expect that we're going to find aspects of loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength. We're going to find aspects of that that actually help us to love people. So that's good. That's good news for us. In fact, if we do it right, we should be able to encounter God through acts of love directed towards people. So this is a good thing. This actually means that they're not two completely separate things. Though they're separate, there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot of connection points. That's good for us. They go together. The intent is that we would embrace them both together, but together in the right order. First is first, second is second. But it's not like first is first and then second is way down the list and so far away. Second is right there with it, but it is second. They don't work against each other when we're doing it right. There's so many things in the kingdom of God that, and you, when you read the word, you look at it, you're like, if you will do it the way the word says it, life just works. And when you don't do it the way the word says it, because we've decided we're so smart that we can do it a different way, things don't work. And we find ourselves butting our heads against life and each other and circumstances. It's all kind of problematic. But here's the way this is supposed to work with the first and the second greatest commandment. They're supposed to be working together, actually helping us to do the other. But first has got to be first, and second has to be second. All life hangs on these two. Did you catch that? Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, when Jesus is talking to this audience, they know what he's saying. He's not just talking about the law of Moses and the prophets. He's saying the Bible. I mean, it to them, what they understood as the entirety of the Bible, the entirety of the word of God, when Jesus said the law and the prophets, their understanding, he means the Bible. He's saying the whole Bible hangs on these two commandments. Love God, love people. I mean, a little bit more complicated than that, but in its simplest form, everything. You could say all of life hangs on these two things. If you're going to be bad at anything, don't be bad at loving God or loving people. Be bad at something else. Pick something else to be bad at. But make sure you're good at these two things, because all of life hangs on these two things. All the law and the prophets, all the word of God, all the purpose of mankind, all the kingdom of God, it all hangs on these two things. Love God and love people. So they go together, and that's the intention. It's not up for debate. Oh, no. We're going to look at some verses today that are like, They'll stare at you. You'll stare at them, and then they'll stare back at you. But they stare with them angry eyes, like, oh. Then we're going to look at some verses that are really intense about this subject. This is not up for debate. The second greatest commandment is the second most important thing to God. It's the second most important thing. Right after us loving him, it's that we'd love each other. But doesn't that just sound like a father? Who wants their kids to be great at loving them, but they hate each other? They're stabbing each other with pencils. It's like, oh my gosh, no kids, don't stab, no stabbing. You want the kids to love each other. The father is the same way. He says, in fact, for my family to operate the way that it's supposed to, I want you to learn how to love me. And then out of the overflow of that, I want you to love each other. It's a journey though. And I just want to invite us into that. That just like learning how to love God is not an instant thing. We don't start off just amazing at it day one. And even as we go through life, there's different seasons and problems and new scenarios and new relationships. All those opportunities to learn how to love God, well, it's the same way with loving people. It's a process. It's a journey. We're growing. It's one that we've got to invest in. I don't know about you, but there's not too many people that went on a journey without moving their feet. I mean, it's just, if you're going to go on a journey, them feet got to be moving. It takes energy and effort, and you got to feed yourself so you got strength so you can keep moving. You can't just keep moving unless you're moving. And this journey, in order for us to learn how to love people, we have got to take steps. We got to be intentional. It's a journey. And I just want to give us the wiggle room to go, okay, if I'm not particularly awesome at loving people, it's something that I can grow in and just set your heart. Just say, I'm going to grow in this. A week from now, a month from now, a year from now, I'm going to be better at loving people than I was when I heard this message. And then a year later, just keep getting better at it. All right, now what I want to do is I want to go back to our session, our message from 2 weeks ago. We were talking about what it meant, the idea, the introduction of the second greatest commandment. And how it's got to be second, it can't be first. We kind of spent a whole, session talking about it's got to be number two, it can't be number one. And I want to talk about some of what happens when we put the second greatest commandment, loving people, in front of loving God. I want to talk about what happens. Give us some of the pitfalls here. In and of ourselves, just by yourself, you have no ability to do the greatest commandment. You are not smart enough, strong enough, good enough, whatever enough. You got to lean into God's love in order to be able to love God back. He said it this way. John said, we love him because he first loved us. You can't love God unless not only he loved you, but you felt that love, experienced that love, understood that love, encountered that love, something to that love so that you could give it back to him. Because when we love God, we're really just giving him back what he gave us. You can't possibly sustain the second greatest commandment, which is love people, love people, love people, love people, love people, if you've put love people before love God, because you don't have any juice. You got nothing left. You got no fuel. You can't possibly sustain. Maybe you can do it for a day or a week, but you can't do it week after month after year after decade. There's no way. You get depleted. You got nothing to give. Because the whole process is that we would love God and that we would then be filled so that we could then love people. All right, I want to read 2 Corinthians 11:3. And I just want to talk about this for a minute, this moving away from loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and making that second or third or tenth, which I think has become so normal in Christianity. And here's what Paul says to the Corinthians. He says, I'm afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, I'm afraid that your minds should somehow be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. That I am concerned for you that in the midst of life, in the midst of all that you've got going on, good and bad, good things can be just as distracting as bad. Sometimes more. He says, I'm concerned for you that the enemy, he was crafty. He got in there and crafty. He got all crafty to Eve and then Eve ate the fruit. He says, I'm concerned like that. And everybody's going, Adam and Eve, that was like a big deal. That changed everything. I'm concerned that everything would get changed for you. He says, I'm concerned like the whole Adam and Eve mishap that caused all of us so much ache forever. Of course, had it been you and me, would have done it twice as dumb. Okay, so it wasn't just them. Let's not blame them. Let's blame humanity. But I'm concerned that like the trajectory of humanity took a giant left turn at the Garden of Eden because Eve was deceived by the serpent's craftiness. I'm concerned for your life that you would be deceived by that same serpent's craftiness. Deceived how? Deceived into blatant sin? Deceived into doing something crazy? Deceived, says this way, led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Jesus Christ. I'm concerned for you that somehow you'd be led astray from that simplicity, that this should just be your life. Your life should be simplicity in devotion to Jesus, purity of devotion to Jesus, devotion of devotion to Jesus. Your life should be set on the greatest commandment. And I'm concerned that life is going to come at you in some way that is going to convince you to take that off of the top priority and put it second or ninth or 20th. I'm concerned for you. It's kind of intense. The reason he's concerned is life doesn't work when the greatest commandment is in some other position besides number one. It doesn't work. Life just doesn't work. Some of you are frustrated in your life. And I want to ask you the question, or get you to ask yourself the question, is the greatest commandment greatest to you? Because if it isn't, or to the degree that it isn't, because we're all, can we be honest? Because we're all in that boat of fighting to keep number one, number one. But to the degree that it isn't, it would make sense that your life would be frustrated. It would make sense that in here and in here would be frustrated. It makes sense because things are out of proportion. They're out of position, rather. Well, as we said in a previous week, the current primary ministry expression in the church, and I'm going to cover new territory here, but I got to get this one clear. The primary ministry expression of the church, somehow, if we can get down to it, really, by the enemy's craftiness, the primary expression of the church has been to love people as the primary first order of business of the church. And it can't be first. And when it's first, things don't work right. And I think that so much dysfunction in our culture, not just in the church, but in our culture, is actually related to the church not having the greatest commandment as greatest. It's second or third or ninth. And when it's not first, things aren't working the way they're supposed to work. Honestly, if the church as a whole, if we were embracing the greatest commandment, I think we would see revival even without having a revival. I think that would be revival. If the church actually prioritized the greatest commandment as the first and foremost, ministering to people, second, not first. What are you about as a church? Loving God with all our hearts and mind and strength. Tell me about how that looks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, now where is loving people? Second, not first. And if that was real, I think we would have revival. I mean, I think that would be revival. Like, we would actually be living the greatest commandment. Our hearts being on fire, and that sounds glorious. Well, it's not the primary current expression of the church. What happens when we're doing the second without the first is a problem in the equation. Let's put up that verse in John 7, verse 37. Because here's what's supposed to happen. As believers, we're supposed to be a river. We're supposed to be getting the river flow from God, it flowing through us and then out. And think about any river that you can imagine. When that river goes beyond past where you can see, it's still flowing and doing stuff and growing plants and fishes and tadpoles. There's stuff happening where the water goes. And so even past where you can see it, it's still making impact. But here's the problem. Try being a river without water coming in. Try being that river. So you got no water coming in you, and you just got water coming out you. How long can that last? Not long. Not long, and that's where frustrations come. Because here's what's supposed to happen. This is what life is supposed to look like related to the first and the second greatest commandment. Here's how they work together. John 7:37. Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink water. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, then water, rivers of living water will flow from within them." But just imagine all that water flowing and doesn't ever have an outlet. You drown from within. The water's got to come out. That was always the point. This is the second and the greatest, and the first and the second greatest commandment working together. We come to him, we're thirsty. We're hungering and thirsting for God. We want the greatest commandment. We're coming to him, we're hungering and thirsting, and we get water from him. Living waters now bubbling up from within us. And then the river flows out, and the river flows out. It's actually God's love touching people instead of Brad's love touching people. Instead of yours. That's the flow. That's the first and the second greatest commandment in operation. That's what's supposed to be happening. But just imagine again, you're constantly ministering to people. You're constantly loving the neighbor. You're constantly doing the outflow, and you don't have the inflow. You got real problems. It actually gets way messier than you just running out of water. It gets way messier. You're exporting yourself eventually. Because if you're still doing the ministry, but you don't actually have the water, you don't have that first and greatest commandment flowing, coming in. If you're still giving out and out and out, I mean, you can give out for a minute, but you can't give out for a year. But you're still giving out, but you don't have it coming in, but you're still giving out. What are you giving? What are you exporting? The only thing you can export is yourself. And then we start to build all these ministries, whether it's a small group or a church, we start to build ministries on man-centered love. We start to build on a man-centered reality that we're exporting the man or the woman or the small group or we're exporting human instead of exporting God. We're supposed to be a river. If we don't have the river flowing in us, we are in deep doo-doo. We have got to be a river that is flowing. And when we do, what we're exporting is him instead of us. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6:33. Said, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Think about how that works with first greatest commandment, second greatest commandment. If you seek the kingdom, you seek Jesus, you seek his righteousness, you seek the first and greatest commandment, you seek the purposes of the kingdom. And what's the primary purpose of the kingdom? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you seek the kingdom, then you'll have what you need to take care of life and take care of others. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You'll have what you need to be able to give others. You'll have what you need in your own life. So much imbalance happens when we put the second greatest commandment first. And I just know we are in a culture that is really good at doing that. I mean, just think about it. All the church life that we know, all the expression of church, how much of it is mostly centered on how we help humans, how we minister to people. It's important. It's second, but it can't be first. And when it is, we wind up exporting self. Okay, well, it gets worse. When you start exporting self, when you've no longer got the river flowing in you, and I don't want to think about the church or the small group. Think about you. Let's get to you. When you don't have the river of God flowing in you, and you're still giving out, you're still living, you're still trying, sin is at the door. Because what happens is, as we continue to minister from that place, it's only a matter of time before sin creeps in. It's only a matter of time, because here's what happens. As that heart is pouring out, but we're receiving less and less, it's eating away at us. It's eating away. It's causing bitterness. The river flowing, there's no room for bitterness. You bitterness, it's just gone. It's just get flushed down the river. You know, it's like, as long as the river's flowing, there's no place for bitterness. There's no place for a lot of things. But when the river's not flowing, stagnation. When the river's not flowing, all these things, it begins to eat away. We're giving away ourselves. We're giving away ourselves. We're angry. We feel unappreciated. All these different things. We're giving away ourselves. It starts to eat away at you. And here's what happens. It causes hard-heartedness and resentment towards people, towards ministry, towards God. We get bored and depleted and resentful. And let me tell you what bored, depleted, resentful hearts go looking for. Fascination. And when we go looking for fascination in that frame of mind, it's 5 minutes away from sin, friends. Because that heart wants something. And that heart's not getting the river we were intended to get. That heart, our hearts are a well of evil. I am sorry to tell you this if you don't know. Your own heart has got real issues, incurable issues. The only way to keep your heart okay is keep it washed with a river. And as long as a river's flowing, you're good. And everybody's going to think you're good. But when that river stops flowing, your heart, it's not a good thing. And as a well of wickedness, you're going to go find fascination. You're going to go find it somewhere. And when it's not found in God, it's going to find another source. Sin's at the door. No wonder we wind up in sin when we're far from God. It's not, you can't go any other way. Because your heart's looking for something. It's looking for the source. It's looking for fuel. It's looking for the river. And when that river's not flowing, we find another river. And now things get really messy because now we get burnt out. We blame God. Our lives get all messed up. It feels like we're a million miles away from God. Do you know you are 1 second away from God? I don't care what dumb thing you've done. I don't care how long it's been a dried up river. I don't care. You're 1 second away. 1 second. Less. If you can figure out a way to do less than 1 second, it's that. You're that far away. You just turn to God and go, help! Help! All of you can do that. You don't want me to yell? Okay. All of you can do that. All of you go, oh God, help me to hunger and thirst for you. Help me to make the first greatest commandment first. Help me to return to my pure, simple devotion to Jesus Christ. Help me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you'll do that, he'll help the river start flowing. I'm telling you, it feels good to say it, especially when it's been dry for a while. If you've been dry for a while and you turn to him and go, oh God, help me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You'll feel the water start coming the second you pray it. You'll start, and your heart will go, oh, I don't need those other things. I don't need those other sources. I don't need those other delights. I've got fascination in God. I feel fuel. I feel alive. You were created to have that vibrancy. And here's what's great. When you've got that vibrancy, you can do the second greatest commandment forever. You can minister to people with no end. It doesn't matter. You can just keep going. Keep going. Because there's a source. It's flowing in you. But you got to keep going back to the source. And here's what's crazy. It's so crazy. We're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, with joy, with love, with the feeling of God. We're getting filled. So then we're oh, I love you. I want to show you I love you. I want to minister to people. And we start ministering to people and forget God. We start ministering to people. Oh, this feels good. I'm feeling so dry. I'm so bored and burnt out. What happened? I was ministering. I said, oh, I forgot the source. Oh, okay. I'll come over here. Another language. I'll get oil. I'll get oil in my lamp. Okay. I'll do greatest commandment. I'm feeling crusty. Where is the dry riverbed? I'm so burnt out. What happened? See, we got to find a rhythm. We're out of balance. Let me tell you, it's really simple. Guys, I've got the answer. I know I can't help you with much. I can tell you this much. If you just get oil every day, you'll always have oil. If you just seek God every day, if you just make loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, your preoccupation, you'll never run out. You'll never get in that trap I just described. You'll never be there again, never. Because the issue is you've got to make the first priority first and keep it first. See, I think we're good at dipping into first. I think, you know, we have the message. You go to the conference, you go, I'm all fired up. And we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength for a weekend. And then Monday comes. And it's like, well, I'm glad I did that. Did what? You're glad you did the greatest commandment, the thing that you were created for 15 minutes? You glad you did it for 15 minutes of your life? Come on. This is rhythm. It's life. If we make the first and the greatest commandment our rhythm, our life, our heartbeat, our non-negotiable, then you'll always have the love of God to be able to do the second greatest commandment. That's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be a river with an inlet and an outlet. We're supposed to be a river. So just, you might even ask yourself, what's the river analogy look like in me right now? Just do a little self-check. Go, well, I think I left that river and started wandering off in the woods. Like, well, go back to the river. Go to the river. Second is like the first. When first is first, we can do the second all day long, and we can experience God in our efforts to do the second. So that's what's supposed to be happening. We can actually, if we learn the dance, if we walk with God in this, we can actually learn to encounter more of the first and greatest commandment while doing the second. It won't happen automatically. It does take some intentionality. Here's what it looks like. You're ministering to this person. You're going, oh God, thank you that I get to minister to this person. Touch this person. You're involving him instead of just giving away him. See? And then they're getting touched. You're going, ooh, and you make sure to aim your heart's affection. God, thank you for touching them. You did it. You did something good. Then when they say thank you and they're like, thank you for ministering to me, you go, yeah, I'm sure, good. But thank you, God, that you did it through me. Thank you, God, that I got to do the second greatest commandment. Oh, this is fun, God. I'm with you, God. We're doing this together, God, instead of you're an ambassador that was at headquarters a minute ago, and now you're out on a mission, and you left God back there. Bring him with you. When you're in the moment doing the second greatest commandment, it could be sweeping or praying for somebody or ministering or helping. It could be anything. When you're doing the second greatest commandment, bring him in and talk to him about it. Oh, we're doing it. We're doing the second greatest commandment. Oh, fill up my heart while we're doing it. If you live in that sort of a rhythm, you'll never burn out, ever. Burnout is a total avoidable reality for every human being. What happens, the only reason anyone ever gets burnt out is they moved greatest commandment to somewhere other than first place. It's the only reason. There's only one way you get burnt out, one way. Greatest commandment went somewhere down the list. Man, if we just make that like, okay, I will never let that happen. And if I ever sense that that's happening, I'm gonna make all of my life about fixing that problem right now. If we just live that way, you'll always be fine. I'm not saying you won't have problems. I'm not saying there aren't gonna be issues, because man, you're gonna have problems and issues. That's just life. But you don't have to be burnt out. You can avoid that. It's really easy. It's really hard. It's really simple. How about that? It's a very simple idea. Keep the greatest commandment greatest. Calling our hearts to engage him. Because see, remember, the first and the second greatest commandment, they're like each other. So let's talk a little bit about that. Look at 1 John 4:8. We need to call our hearts to engage love. We want to call our hearts to engage love, to love God. And we want to call our hearts, here's how they're like each other. Because the greatest commandment is to love God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. We'll just focus on heart for a moment. To love God with all our heart, we've got to tell our heart, hey, heart, you love God. You hear me? You line up, heart. Love God. You want to do the same thing and say, love people, heart. Quit being dumb. Love people. Love God, love people. Quit it, heart. Quit it. What's wrong with you? You got to call your heart to love God. You got to call your heart to love people. It doesn't just happen. You're not going to just love God. And you're not going to just love people. You need to call your heart to it. You got to set a plan. You got to come up with an agenda. How are we going to do this? And it's not enough to just have the desire in your heart. You have to have an action plan. You will never accidentally live a life of the greatest commandment or the second greatest commandment without an action plan. So you got to call your heart to it. Look what John says. Whoever does not love, and in this he's talking about loving people. He says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Saying if we know God, then we're going to have access to the ability to love people. And if anybody says they love God and they don't love people, they're lying. Oh my gosh, it gets really intense. We'll read a few more verses here in a minute. Paul says this in Ephesians. We need to be finding ways to do the first and greatest commandment in our life by doing the second greatest commandment. We want to find ways to engage God through loving people. And I want to make this really clear. The default will be to love people and forget God. You have to know that's the default. Otherwise, you're going to assume if I love people, I will be loving God. It's not true. The default is you will absolutely not be loving God by loving people unless you're intentional to do so. So just know that, because that's the trap. That's the craftiness of the serpent that we were talking about earlier, where Paul's like, I hope that you wouldn't be led astray by his craftiness. Let me tell you the trap. The trap is, if I love people, I will therefore love God. It's not true. You've got to be loving God on purpose, loving people, just like loving God on purpose while driving a car. You don't just accidentally do the greatest commandment. It's intentional in every moment, including loving people. But man, if the two are like each other, how much easier is it going to be of an on-ramp to love God while loving people if you try? It's a lot easier because they're like each other, because you have to engage the same thing either way. Love. You've got to engage love to love God, engage love to love people. So when you start to love people, if you just are intentional, oh God, help me love you, help me encounter you, he'll actually make it easier. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 4, 1 through 2. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. He says, I want you to live a life worthy. He says, God saved you, and it was pretty awesome. He gave you himself. You have received a calling now. You're part of the kingdom of God. You are not a pew sitter. None of you are pew sitters. You are part of the kingdom of God. You have purpose and destiny. God has a purpose for you. I want to exhort you to live a life worthy of your calling. Okay, Paul. What's that look like? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Whose love? God's love. Bear with one another in love. Here's what I believe Paul's saying. Let some of that first and greatest commandment flow through you as you interact with one another. Bear with one another in love. I'll tell you what, there are some times where somebody will do something and it irritates me. We all get irritated by people because they don't think the same way we do. They don't like the same stuff we do. They don't care about certain things the way that we care about them. That doesn't make them bad. That makes them human, because you're just as irritating to them. I mean, that's just how it is. He says, bear with one another in love. And I want to add, in God's love that's flowing through you because you're doing the greatest commandment. Bear with one another in that love. Here's what I found. When I'm in those moments where I'm irritated, if I just try to muster up, I'm just going to love them because that's the right thing to do, I'm still irritated. I might be doing the right action, but inside I am not a happy person. But when I go, God, help me to love this person in this moment, now I'm bearing with them with God's love and the burden is lifted. It's so much easier because now I just got source. I just got something in me to be able to actually help them. We want to be looking for opportunities to do the first greatest commandment all the time while doing the second greatest commandment, just like that. We're going to be looking for opportunities to engage the Lord, get him involved in the conversation, ask him for his help, his strength, his love, his mercy, his joy, asking him to be the source to flow through us, not just in life, not just in a morning devotional with the Lord all day long. Did he leave? After your morning devotional, did he just disappear? Did he go away? He's still there. Don't let a morning devotional be the only time you talk to God all day. What a waste of a day. He's there all day. Engage him when the person irritates you. Engage him when the person makes you happy. Engage him in traffic. Engage him down the freeway, Autobahn style, 9 to 9. Engage him all day long. And as you engage him, your heart comes alive and you're feeling that river flow through you. And then you've got the ability to love. 1 John 2:10, love overflowing to our brother. Anyone who does not love his brother and sister, I'm sorry, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. And there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But remember the whole equation. You can't just keep loving them unless you've got the greatest commandment operating. But this is John, assuming you know that. He's saying, but if you will operate this way, if you just keep loving your brother and you keep loving your sister because you've already got the greatest commandment in operation as a normal part of life because you listen to all of Paul's teachings and Jesus's about the greatest commandment. He says, if you love people all the time, there's nothing in you to make you stumble, because you will live really well. It will go really, really well for you loving people. You will love that life. 1 John 4:20, Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Liar! For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. This is so simple. It's so terrifyingly simple. We've got to flow from the love of God to others. There's no other way to do the second greatest commandment. And I just want to remind us, the second greatest commandment, it's the second most important thing to God your Father. It is what he is thinking about second most. And really, really, if you think about it, it's really him thinking about the first and greatest commandment in the way you relate to the other people. I mean, he's wanting everybody down here to be able to love him and love each other. The way this river flows, and we'll close up, we get love from him, then it's in us. Once it's in us, it's to flow out to them, whoever the them is. Love comes from God. We know that verse, 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. That's how we love others, is we've got the love of God. It starts with him. He's the source. It comes to us. Next, 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. He's lavished it on us. The love comes from him. He's the source. And then he lavishes on us. It's a river, a love lavish river. And it's lavished on us. And then as it's washing us and getting in us, now we have the ability to do something that we weren't able to do before. Romans 5:5 says, God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, I'm trying to help us to understand the way we do the second greatest commandment has everything to do with how good we're doing at the first greatest commandment. And when we're not doing that first greatest commandment well, when we're not receiving his love, when we're not encountering his love, engaging his love, it's impossible for us to do the second greatest commandment well. But then we love people with that same love. And things work. Last verse, John 4:12. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. God's love is incomplete. That sounds pretty heretical. God's love can be completed one way, when we do the first greatest commandment and then we do the second. Because here's how it works. It starts with God. God is love. It flows to us. But it's not complete until we flow to them. And then really, to complete the whole circuit, then they're supposed to love God because we love them. They're supposed to feel that love and go, oh, gratitude welling up in me. God, thank you so much that they did the thing, that they helped, that they love. I'm going to read it again. If we love one another, second greatest commandment, right? If we love one another, God lives in us. We've talked about that in past sessions. I don't want to focus on that right now. If we love one another, God's love is made complete in us. It completes the circuit. This is the circle of life. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is how it all flows together. This is how we can wind up not just being priests and nuns at some convent or monastery. This is how we can do it. We learn how to receive the love of God as the regular, as a rule, living the first and greatest commandment, and then we pour it out to others, and it completes the circuit. And then God's love is made complete. That is just such a beautiful idea. Here's my hope today as we close out. I just want to identify really clearly, God has a second most important desire, and it's that we would learn how to love people. But I want to give us the warning that I think this warning is lacking. It's like back before all the stuff that was bad for you, food and extra, didn't have the little warning labels. It's the same product, but now it's got a warning label. I want to give you the warning label. If we try to do the second greatest commandment without the first greatest commandment being first, we will burn out. We will get off track. We will be upset in our soul. We will not be operating according to divine purpose. We will actually not be able to continue to do anything well. We want to be a people that pursue God first, and then out of that love overflow, love people and help them in their journey with God as well.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.